Hello, boys and girls. Today is July 8th, 2005. It's a Friday. You're listening to whatever the hell I call this radio, episode 3. Today we're going to talk about routers. If I get a chance, enough time, we'll talk about switches too. Jump right in. Router is a device that forwards traffic, forwards packets. It operates on layer 3, the network layer. If you're not familiar what I mean by layer 3, the network layer, that comes from a model known as the OSI model. And the OSI model was instituted in order to set up, it was to establish standards for vendors and the like, and so that, you know, we could standardize networking and streamline everything, make everything flow easier. So it operates on layer 3, and basically what that means is that it forwards packets based on their IP address. Routers, they know where to forward these packets through what's known as a routing table. A router keeps a list of, it keeps a routing table with available routes where it can send the packet. It gets these it develops these routing tables through two ways, either statically or dynamically. Statically being, you know, an administrator goes in there into the router and manually configures it, saying, well, if you got a packet that's going to go here, send it this way. You got a packet that's going to go there, send it that way. And anything else, you know, send it over there. It can also be learned dynamically through what's known as routing protocols. Such protocols include IGRIP, OSPF, and RIP. There's also other proprietary protocols out there, such as a Cisco proprietary protocol being EIGRIP. There's a bunch of other ones out there. I don't really remember a lot of them right now, but so that's another way I can do it. I can do it dynamically. So I go in there, you know, I configure these routes. Well, how does it know which path to take? Let's say I've got router A, right? And, you know, I want to go to router Z. Well, it determines the path through what's known as a cost metric. Or through its cost, the route's cost. And obviously, whichever route has the lowest cost is which way the packet's going to go. Now, these costs, again, are either, you know, they can be set up statically or they can be done dynamically by, through the routing protocols. Delve right in here, routing protocols. Let's talk about RIP first. RIP works by... the default time for RIP to send update packets is 30 seconds. So every 30 seconds, a router that's running RIP, it will send a packet out to its routers that are connected to it, and it will say, okay, this is my routing table. This is what I know. And then that router is also sending updates every 30 seconds, and it's sending all these the information out, and it's update, and it's, you know, saying this is my routing table, this is what I know about, this is what I know about, and eventually network converges and the routers all have the same, they have all the information, and these packets continue to go out every 30 seconds. And the way RIP calculates its route cost is by hop count. So let's say I have router A, I have router Z, I want to send a packet between routers A and Z. Well, what RIP does, it says, okay, well, I have this routing information, and I can either send it from router A to router B to router C, then to router Z, or I can send it from A to Z. Well, since I have more hops going from A to B to C to Z, as opposed to just going from A to Z, RIP will determine that the cost for going from straight from A to Z, it has a lower cost. Therefore, if a packet's destined to go to router Z and it comes in router A, it's going to send it out the direct route to A to Z. One of the disadvantages of doing this like this, however, is let's say we've got, you know, a couple of T1 lines going from A to B to C, and then another T1 line from C to Z, but I also have, say, a 56K line going from A to Z. Well, even though those T1 lines are a hell of a lot faster than a 56K line, with RIP, it's still going to send it out that 56K line because it's there's less hops. And that's how RIP determines things. Now, another routing protocol is IGRIP, and that's spelled IGRP. Now, IGRIP is different from RIP in a couple of ways. Well, first of all, IGRIP uses multiple factors to determine a route's cost. Those different factors being bandwidth, delay, load, and reliability. Bandwidth being, well, the amount of data that can be forced down that stream or down that line. Delay being the latency. Reliability being how often the links, you know, up and down, how often, you know, the link's not up, you can't send packets, and the delay being the latency. Now, advantages of IGRIP over RIP, obviously, like I said, it uses different factors to develop the cost of a link, so it's not going to. So in the previous example where, you know, packet go from either A, B, C through a bunch of T1 lines and out to Z through another T1 line, or straight from A to Z through a 56K line. In this case, IGRIP would choose the A, B, C, then over to Z because it's got a lower cost. Another advantage is that IGRIP can scale much better to larger networks than RIP can, for the fact that IGRIP has a maximum hop count of 255, and RIP has a maximum hop count of 15. Now, what I mean by maximum hop count is there's a certain number of hops, a certain number of devices a router can pass through and then get forwarded back onto before the packet's eventually discarded and thrown out. So in this case, IGRIP is obviously going to scale to a much larger network hell of a lot better than RIP would, because, you know, 15 hops and then RIP's going to ditch the packet. The reason that there's maximum hop count is to prevent routing loops. Because, for example, if I send a packet out and it goes from router A to router B to router C, and then it goes back to router A, and I end up passing it back on to B to C to A, and then it keeps going around, as soon as it reaches 15 hop counts, the packet's going to get discarded and it's not going to get forwarded anymore. So that's a bit about IGRIP. Actually, let's keep going about IGRIP. IGRIP is different from, IGRIP actually maintains three different tables, to, route traffic. Those tables being the neighbor table, which keeps track of its neighbors, routers that are, you know, adjacent to it. The topology table, which maintains the topology of the network, and the routing table, which holds the best routes. So when it wants to know which route to take, looks in the routing table, says take this one. Actually, I made a mistake earlier when I said IGRIP actually is a Cisco proprietary protocol. So enough about IGRIP. Let's move into EIGRIP, which is same as IGRIP, but the E stands for enhanced. Also, IGRIP stands for Interior Gateway Routing Protocol, so EIGRIP being Enhanced Interior Gateway Routing Protocol. Differences between EIGRIP and IGRIP. Well, EIGRIP supports VLSM, which stands for Variable Length Subnet Mask, and this is, in short, basically it allows you to conserve IP addresses by subnetting a network, so that, you know, you can have a certain amount for a router, and then, you know, you can use the rest for hosts and whatnot. But I'm not going to get too much into that. If you want to know more about that, you can always just Google it. Other advantages of EIGRIP, and that's basically a little bit about IGRIP and EIGRIP. I'm gonna get off EIGRIP and IGRIP because they're proprietary protocols, and I'm not a fan of proprietary protocols. So let's get right on to OSPF. OSPF stands for Open Shortest Path First. OSPF is pretty cool in my opinion. OSPF, unlike the other routing protocols we mentioned, OSPF has support for routing in multiple subnets, whereas the other ones just go by. Whereas some of the other ones, such as RIP and IGRIP, just go by just the straight up networks. They don't support subnets at all. The main factor in the way that OSPF determines a cost is bandwidth. Actually, what I should say is that OSPF, it doesn't primarily use bandwidth to determine a cost. It does use bandwidth to determine the cost of link. Obviously, problem with this could be if you've got to send it through, 800 different routers going, from, I don't know, Tokyo or out to California or New York to go over to Idaho. That could be a problem as opposed to going from, say, Florida to Idaho instead of doing all that crazy stuff. So obviously, I mean, it is a downside. However, it's probably preferable, at least in my opinion, to using something such as a RIP, where you could go over a really slow link. OSPF uses hello packets. That's hello, like hi, how are you? Hello. Uses hello packets to help determine it's to get a good look at how the network's set up and determine the topology of the network. When a hello packet's sent out, a router sends out a hello packet with the information of all the routers connected to it, with and all these hello packets are received, and eventually a router uses the shortest path first algorithm, SPF, to determine the topology and all the available routes. SPF is also used to determine the cost of a link. One of the nice things about Open Shortest Path First, OSPF, is that when it was designed to try and maintain loop-free routing, meaning you don't get routing loops, which is cool. Also, another thing about OSPF is that it uses link state advertisements, and these link state advertisements advertise the state of a link, meaning that let's say I have router A and I'm connected to router B. It uses these link state advertisements to say, well, I'm still here, I'm still alive. If it doesn't receive these advertisements, then well, it goes, okay, that link's down. Don't use that because it's down. Since OSPF does a lot of these complex calculations and stuff, you've got to have more powerful routers and whatnot than you would need with something, say, like RIP. So that's one of the disadvantages of OSPF. All right, well, it's a bit about routers, routing protocols, things of that nature. Another thing you'll often see implemented on routers are what's known as access control lists, ACLs. Access control lists, they kind of work like firewalls work in that you can deny certain traffic on routers. Pretty cool feature. Basically, with access control lists, you say, okay, well, if you see anything coming from here, deny this. I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory until you get to the actual configuration of it. But that obviously can differ from router to router, so I'm not going to talk about that. I'm not really going to get into that. Well, since we're only about, halfway through the show, why don't we talk about switches? Well, unlike routers, which, as I said, operate on layer 3 and forward by IP address, switches operate on layer 2, meaning they forward by your MAC address. Now, if you're unfamiliar with a MAC address is basically it's burned into your NIC card. And what I mean by that is that every single NIC card is assigned a specific MAC address. Now, if you want to think about it this way, you could think of the IP address as, say, a mailing address. You say send it here. I mean, then your mailing address could be your mailbox. It could be like a PO box. But eventually you're gonna go there and you're gonna pick up your mail. But you could think of a MAC address as your specific name. So you could say, hey, send this to Ragweed, or and say, we could say send this, Ragweed's house, where he's gonna, So that's sort of how those work. If you want more information, obviously look it up on Google. So switches forward based on a layer 2, and they do this by maintaining a switching database, or a host database, which has all the MAC addresses and whatnot. And the way switches get their MAC addresses on which to forward is, they if I'll send, let's say I send a packet and it's going to go through a switch. Well, I look up, I'm the switch, so I look and I say, okay, I look up in my table and I look for all my source addresses. And the source addresses being which MAC addresses are connected to which port. Now, if I don't know it, basically if I don't know where to send this, and I've got some connected to a port, what I'll do is I'll flood the switch, I'll send data out all these ports, I'll get all the MAC addresses, and then I'll forward it out the right way. Now, normally it's not going to have to do any of this sort of flooding because it keeps a list of the MAC addresses. Now, in order to prevent switching loops, I know at least Cisco switches do this. I'm sure other switches do it too. I'm almost positive, actually. The switches use something known as STP, which stands for Spanning Tree Protocol, and this is used to help alleviate switching loops. No, what'd you say? Switching loops? Yeah, switching loops.
Yeah, so it uses STP. It prevents these switching loops through the STA spanning tree algorithm. Now switches that are participating in spanning tree protocol that are using it, they are generally in 5 states: blocking, listening, learning, forwarding, and disabled. And it goes from basically initialization to blocking to listening or to disabled, listening to learning or disabled, and learning to forwarding or disabled, and it can also go from forwarding to disabled. With the spanning tree protocol, a root switch is elected, and the way this is done through a whichever switch has the highest priority, and it has the highest priority of having the lowest numerical value, priority value. And if they happen to have the default, like if they're all the same, then it will actually just use whichever switch has the lowest MAC address as the root switch. Now with spanning tree protocol, these switches, they update through what's known as BPDUs, bridge protocol data units. These bridge protocol data units, BPDUs, they contain information such as the MAC address associated with each switch, the cost to the root switch, the port identifier, which is also a MAC address associated with each switch port. I'm reading this right here off Cisco's website. Apparently, the switch sends a configuration, BPDU's bridge protocol data units to communicate and compute the spanning tree protocol, the spanning tree topology. Each configuration, like I said before, contains unique bridge ID, which is the MAC address, cost, and the identifier, the MAC address of the transmitting port. The spanning tree protocol uses what are known as spanning tree timers. The hello timer determines how often the switch broadcasts hello messages to other switches. The forward delay timer determines the amount of time a port will remain in the listening and learning states before entering the forward state. The maximum age timer determines the amount of time protocol information received on a port is stored by the switch. I'm quoting right now a Cisco page on Cisco right now, which is pretty cool. It's on a spanning tree protocol. If you want to go to it, it's www.cisco.com/univercd/cc/td/doc/product/lance/cat5000/rel_5_2/config/spantree.html. That's a really long link. There's actually a lot of good stuff that you can learn about networking through Cisco's website if you were to do maybe some Google mining or, searching around on it. That's just sort of a side note. Well, enough about spanning tree. let's talk about VLANs. VLANs are virtual LANs, virtual local area networks, and switches, they basically use VLANs. They're they break up multiple machines, and they're used to logically group machines together, and also it can help with security. Let's say, you know, you've got a organization, you've got, let's say, I don't know, you've got you've got custodians or something on, you know, a bunch of computers, and then let's say you've got, you know, your accounting department on some other computers, and you don't want the custodians to necessarily be able to access the accounting because, let's say, I don't know, there's sensitive information and you're concerned about, I don't know, custodians, you know, mining all your bank account information for the entire company. So what you can do is you can set them up with VLANs, and if one host is on a different VLAN from another another host, it cannot talk to that other host directly through the switch. It has to go through a router and do what's known as trunking. It has set up a trunk with all these other VLANs. So it can obviously help with security management, and also it breaks them up into different broadcast domains, which basically it helps reduce the, to simplify things, it helps reduce the overall amount of traffic that's going to be going on between these individual amounts of machines. It's a bit about VLANs. Also, please keep in mind, I don't mean for this to be a network suite. You know, you're gonna go out of here and leave with, you know, $30,000 job, you know, or $30,000, whatever, any sort of the job really, just by listening to the show. It's just sort of an introduction. It's supposed to give you, you know, a little bit more information about what you can go search for and look up. So, I think I'm gonna close the show right about now. About 22 minutes into it. I apologize if the show wasn't as good as some of the other ones. I didn't really have a lot of time to prepare. I started a new job and whatnot, so sort of, you know, Friday sort of sprung up on me. Promise it'll be better next week. It'll be a lot better. Once again, I'd like to thank you, the listeners. I really want to hear feedback. I'm desperate for feedback. I haven't gotten any feedback at all. I don't know. I haven't checked my mail for the show yet, but I doubt there's anything there. So if you can, just send me feedback. I don't care what it is. Saying you suck, ragweed, your show's awful, go kill yourself, I love it, whatever. Send me some feedback so I know how I can improve this. I don't know if you want to hear different closing music, whatever. Just send me some feedback so I can know how to improve this radio show. And the email address is whatever the hell I call this radio at yahoo.com. That's whatever the hell I call this radio at yahoo.com. There's no spaces. So send me some feedback. I want to hear from you. Logging in. Let's see if I got anything. I doubt it. Check. Nope. No feedback. So send me some feedback. I want to hear about the show, what you think of it. That's about it. I'm going to close with the music I've been closing with for past episodes. Drama in the PhD. Peace.
Yo, MC++, my rhymes are so fat. I'm P-Space complete, but I'll reduce you to 3-sat. My crew is so hard that we roll an NP, and bitches dereference my pointer for free. When I'm linear probing, they're like, damn, that's gigantic. I showed it to your mom, and she used horror semantics. She jumped like J&E up onto my erection, and I picked up that hole like straight garbage collection. Yeah, mark and sweep on these nuts, bitch. Lyric lyrics get stolen by sucker MCs. I gotta sign my rhymes with PGP, but I keep on generating like a CFG, cause there's so much drama in the PhD.
What's wrong, MC++? Am I making you nervous? Even skanky fat hoes give you denial of service. You'll probably go to jail before you write your dissertation, so prepare your asshole for some internal fragmentation. Penetration while they fill it up with jism. It's too bad you aren't closed under homomorphism. Your problem, plus plus, is that your typing ain't strict. NML, my type is real, your type is alpha dick.
I control my flow better than TCP. I rep the West Coast like Eazy-E. You best not front if you can't pass the GRE, cause there's so much drama in the PhD.
My flow is so intense that I will overflow your buffer, corrupt your stack pointer, making all your data suffer. I've got saturated edges, but your flow is sparser. Real gangsters sip on yak, you just generate a parser. While you're busy popping stacks, I'll pop a cap in your skull. While you smoke your crack pipe, I'ma pipe you to Dev Null. I may not have a label, but I rap like a star. I'm an unsigned long it, and you're an 8-bit char.
Your mom circulates like a public key, servicing more requests than HTTP. She keeps all her ports open like Windows ME. Oh, there's so much drama in the PhD.
D-word to your moms, I came to drop bombs. I've got more rhymes than San Jose's got .coms. I rep the farm like 50 reps queens, with more power than multi-tape Turing machines. Blowing up the rap scene faster than factorial functions. I'm dope like PNP transistors, and I'll saturate your junctions. By the time you've run online, I've already busted 10. You rap in exponential time, and I'm Big O of log n.
I run G, make n, GCC, and I ain't never called Malik without calling free. I'll beat your ass until it's colored like a red-black tree, cause there's so much drama in the PhD.